Chow, powered by VE Tennessee Lottery. Coach Mack in the studio. When you hear that song, that means that Coach Mack is in the studio. Always brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They got you covered, just like our coach, Coach Mack. Welcome to Moe's, Coach.
This, you know, when I came walking in, this is so solid. I came walking in, I mean, and this looks like a real spread. This looks like a spread at the Oscars. I mean, I like this.
They brought the wrong Doug stack. They brought the chicken club quesadilla. They brought the closed talker salad, which I've got. They've got the home wrecker burrito.
And their queso, which I am currently gnawing on.
I mean, this was a legitimate spread by Moe's.
If big, you want to see.
Big props to Moe's.
Pregnant Dawn, go at it. You got to like us on Instagram, 3HL. Like us on Instagram, 3HL.
Dawn was leaning Follow over, cutting into that burrito or whatever that is. I backed way up.
Apparently, my big belly turned on the phone.
Yeah, turned on the phone.
What's going on?
Sorry, did it go JT. On the air? Did a dial tone go on the air?
Oh, man.
Yes,
he said yes. Oh, no. Yes.
Nothing gets in the way of eating around here.
Nope.
I love it.
Thanks, Moe's.
Except the NFL draft, and you're all in. I saw you and Rhett walking down the hall earlier.
We just, Rhett and I this morning.
We spent a lot of quality time together.
Yeah, we have. With Mike Keith. We just got through.
You brought him into your web.
Yeah, he's part of the inner circle.
Okay.
Anyway, we were
he can see the board.
Yeah, he can.
Does he have the power to change or edit the board?
That would be no.
That is the only thing Mike Keith has never had the power to do.
Mike Keith is all encompassing, and we'd share everything with Mike Keith, but he's not changing the board.
Okay.
Well,
unless he comes into with a valid evaluation and said, this is what I saw. Because, you know, when I was in draft rooms and in charge of draft rooms, I listened to everybody. I listened to everybody's evaluation. So I guess I shouldn't say no on that.
Did you make it a point to seek their evaluation, or was it just something, hey, if you know anything about anybody, please come and tell me right now?
No, I mean, look, when you're having your formal draft meetings, everybody reads. I mean, everybody reads their reports. And then what happens is if you've got somebody that you've got discrepancies on, then you'll come in or say it's not in your primary area. Say you're my secondary coach and you know, you've watched these many secondary people, but somebody down the line that they did not give you to look at, I might come in and say, Mickey, did you look at this guy? Well, if you didn't, look at him. Just look at him. You know, I don't want you to, you know, as a head coach, I will have heard the reports before you did, and I would like for you to take it, evaluate it before you go into this meeting and hear the reports, because the thing that you don't want is you really don't want collaboration. You want opinions. Mm-hmm. And then you can come to a total agreement on what's going on, but you don't want collaboration because you want genuine opinions of everybody and of what they see and what they don't see, because everybody can look, you know, at the same horseshoe and come up with a different, you know, type of angle on it. And so that's what you want.
Do you remember a specific player or players that had the most varying opinions, where some guy said, there's no way this is going to work, and another guy said, that guy can't miss?
Yeah, Clay Matthews. You know, because Clay Matthews didn't start at USC. I mean, he wasn't a starter, you know, when he initially went in. And so it all depended on what year and what part in the season you watched him play in. Because he was not a starter, you know, at USC when he first started. Then he came in and started, you know, and then so if you had watched earlier tape, or if you weren't the primary scout in that area and you had not watched the entirety of the season, you know, I mean, there could be varying opinions because it was different, you know, and it looked different. And so there were varying opinions on there, but everybody came to a consensus that this is clearly a first round pick that is going to get better when he gets in the league because he's got the requisite skills for it. But, you know, there's a lot that can go on, especially, you know, if a guy, you know, hasn't been a three or a two or a 3 year starter. I mean, there's difference because players change.
How tough is the whole one hit wonder thing where a guy just sort of emerges that, well, now it would be third year of college and then they'll come out. But for a guy who doesn't have much in year one or year two, but as a junior or a senior, he just explodes. How do you?
Well, you got to find you got to decide first why is that? Mm-hmm. I mean, was he just not given a chance to play? Were there people that were taking up more time playing in front of him that deserved that more time to play? Then all of a sudden now it's his turn. Were there injuries involved in it? I mean, you got to go through the whole litany of what the reasons were that this happened, because, you know, you can look at requisite skills. The biggest thing that you have to guard against is trying to project onto somebody that doesn't have much production as far as the production, like just based on, I mean, we're getting ready to go to the combine next week, and there's a history of people getting tricked at the combine because of, you know, because of physical testing. Well, that can also happen, you know, in your film evaluation. You may catch them at certain times as to when they're, you know, they say, well, this guy really looks good, but the area scout will say, coach, look, here's another body of work. You need to look at the rest of this leading up to this and see if this is just, if this is an anomaly or if this was really based on facts as to why he had this great a game. It might be who he's playing against. You might say, well, coach, you know, the people he's playing against are going to be tax accountants next year. You know, they're not going to be blocking him if he's a pass rusher. You know what I'm saying? Sure. I mean, there's just a lot of things that go into it. So you've got to take a deeper dive into it. The best advice I ever got, and I think I've told you guys and our listeners this before, is when I first started doing this back in 1986, you know, with Bill Tobin in charge, he said, don't be an IE, which is an instant evaluator. Don't be an IE.
You tell me that all the time.
I told Don that at practice. Don't be an IE. It's the worst thing you can do is to form an immediate opinion, because then no matter what goes on, that initial opinion is in your mind, and then you think if you change it, then that you're wrong. You know, see what I'm saying? Just take a while, bring it, take it all in, keep your powder dry, and just let all the information come to you.
You talk about the statistics, the numbers, what these guys put up at the combine. What's the most important part of the combine for these players, for teams to be able to analyze? Is it different at position? Each position, is it different for each guy? Is it just the time they get to speak with them? What's the most important part of what this combine has turned into for these players?
Well, let's just go with this. In general, for all 32 teams, the most constant and consistent is the medical evaluations.
Okay.
That's number one, because everything is done in-house and everything is under one roof, and everybody gets every piece of the information. Everybody gets every piece of the information of all of that. Everybody gets every piece of the information, height,
and it's top
weight,
to bottom.
Everybody gets all, you get all of that empirical data and information. Now, how you choose to interpret that data and information, then that becomes, you know, singular to what you and your group are doing and how you do it. All right. And so now if you want to talk about position specific things, then the drills are very, you know, so if I'm going in there to look at edge rushers and I don't know come from sickle, you know, about who these people are, the first thing I'm going to look at initial quickness. Yeah. I'm going to look at flexibility. I'm going to look at a 10-yard speed. What's their get off? Explosion. I'm going to look at explosion. You know, those things, if I don't know anything about them as a football player, just for a baseline to start looking at them, I'm going to say, okay, well, this guy, you know, I've told you the story about when, you know, I was recruiting schools that didn't have tape way back when I was coaching in college and high school, and taking a carpenter's rule in and vertical jumping guys in the gym and say, okay, you know, this, okay, you three come here. You know, because, I mean, you got to have a baseline that you establish some things off of. So if I'm doing that, if I'm going to look at a defensive back, you know, I'm going to look at his linear speed, but I'm also going to look at his transition ability. I'm going to look at his hip flip. I'm going to look at the way he's able to transition in the W drill. I'm going to look at how he can track a ball when they throw the ball over the shoulder and then spin him and throw it back to the middle. Those types of things I'm going to look at, because I'm not going to be able to watch him cover anybody, you know, at the combine. So there are position specific things that you look for when you're in the suites or you're in the stands and you're grading the guys, just looking at them, that pretty soon, especially if you've had, like I've had 34 years of experience, I've got some, you know, I've got every one of these books I've ever done in 34 years, you know, and so yeah, I can refer back to, or, you know, I can see it now. I can say, okay, that guy deserves more look. That guy deserves more look. That guy's probably going to be a problem. You know, you can, and it pretty much, you know, figures itself out at the end, but it takes a while to do it.
Rachel Bauer by me, Jesse. Coach Dave McGinnis in studio for a couple more segments. Oh, man, talking Titans and more. We're talking about Coach Mack's getting ready to go to the Combine. He'll do Coach Mack, Steph, and Indy for several days. And you were showing us, you have your notebook where you're evaluating this year's prospects. And I'm sure there are times where you see guys and you think, who does he remind me of? Do you go back and start digging through these books? Because sometimes it's immediate. You think, oh, that guy reminds me of Pat Swilling, or that guy reminds me of Richard Dent. Or
that happens all the time. It really does. As I said, I've got every notebook I've ever done, and you know, this is my 34th draft. But you know what happens, Mickey? It's like all the games that I've been in, and any coach that's been in this at this level for a long time. When you ask any of us about a game, doesn't matter when it was, we can remember the game.
Right.
You can you can remember players too. You remember players because it's just. You see about, you know, anywhere between 250 and 300 a year, but you also don't just see them there. You also, if they make the league, you see them, you know, you see them in the league too. And so, I mean, it's always fresh in your mind. You know, the advantage that I've had is I've been in the league consistently since 1986. So all these guys, you know, regardless, I mean, they're still fresh in my mind, and it might not be an immediate recall, but, you know, I'm around enough people that will say, hey, Mac, you remember this? And I say, oh, yeah. So the answer to that is yes. That's what it's good to draw comparisons. Comparisons are good and bad. You know, I never liked it because nobody's exactly the same.
Right.
Nobody, you know, some people may have the same traits, but everybody's an individual, especially with professional athletes.
So talk to me about Chase Young. What does his tape look like when you pop that in?
I got a little bit on him.
Is that the first page in the book?
Yeah.
Well,
it's the first page
of
edge rushers. He's a fast processor, first of all.
Okay.
I mean, he can figure it out pretty quick. He's got elite flexibility. Okay. His hands and his feet, they work together. In other words, he's not all over the place. I mean, he's not moving forward and then windmilling with his. I mean, he both his top and his bottom work together. He's got a plan. He's polished. He's powerful. He's athletic. Okay, to me, I mean, I looked at it. And I just wrote down. I mean, he's a top five pick. You know, when I just started looking at him, seems like he's a cerebral player. He's got good football IQ. He's not, you know, exceptionally long. He's 6'5", but he's not, you know, that's not exceptionally long. But you know, so that's sometimes, you know, against stack and shed, against long offensive tackles, that'll get after you a while. But you don't worry about that a lot when a guy's got that much elite flexibility and athleticism. A lot like Von Miller. Von Miller's not a real big, tall,
right,
lengthy guy, but he's a nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, off of the edge when you start looking at him. He's got pop versus the run. I mean, I like him some. I mean, there's times when he's so athletically gifted that sometimes he'll get a little bit upright starting in his rush just because he's athletically gifted enough to get upright a little bit and still be able to maneuver and get around. In this league, he'll probably have to learn to work with more consistent pad leverage. But now we're nitpicking on things.
Right.
But, I mean, he's an elite edge guy.
What do you think about we asked you a little bit about him earlier, but we came away having talked with Terrell Lewis from Alabama. We came away just really loving that kid.
Yeah, and see, you guys have got an insight that I've never talked to the kid, probably never will. You know, so you've got a little bit of an insight to that. But, I mean, when you watch him, you know, he's a 6'5", around 258-pound guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's had some injuries in his career, which has kept him from – I mean, he had a dislocated elbow in 2017. He had an ACL in 2018. So you don't have a whole big body of work, you know, with him. But when you look at him on film, and I would imagine once they get him down there and he goes to weigh and measure, he looks like he's a rocked up dude. I mean, he really does. You know, he's kind of high cut. I mean, it looked like to me he's got long limbs. When you watch him play, he's a physical guy when he plays. He really is. I mean, he's got some violence to his play. But, I mean, he's got some space ability too. Now, because he hasn't played a lot, mm-hmm. when you're just watching him, you know that you're watching a raw player.
Yeah.
He's not real refined, you know, in what he does. And he needs some refinement. But anytime somebody that I look at, especially defensively, that has got athleticism and has got length and limbs that they use, I mean, I'm talking about hand usage, and they're violent, well, then you've got a chance to work with something. And, again, you just don't have a whole lot of reps with him because of the two injuries that I have mentioned. But when he has been able to play, you notice him on tape.
Coach Dave McGinnis, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans, hanging out with us on 3HL. Is there an, I know things change and there are variations of anything, but is there a quote-unquote ideal size for that 3-4 outside linebacker guy?
Well, I mean, no, they're all different.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all different. You know, I mean, if you get the job done, you get the job done. I mean, you can put, you know, requirements on it. I mean, look, on that edge in a 3-4 defense, the thing that you want length, and you want to be able to lock out and knock back, because you're going to have to do that. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to be able to set an edge, but at times you're going to have to drop, especially horizontally.
Right.
You're going to have to be able to horizontal drop and be able to move some in space. And then, especially, you know, on first, now we're not talking about sub, we're talking about first and second down. You're going to have to be able to be physical enough sometimes, you know, especially if you're going to run stunts. You're going to have to be able to be physical enough to hit gaps, you know, and be able to power and work through things. But the other thing that you really need, and you can't see that until you meet the person and you vet the person and you start looking at, you've got to be able to process, because there's a lot of things that go on in a 3-4 defense with those outside guys that they've got to be able to process sometimes, because sometimes, you know, whether they're on the closed side, which is the tight end side, or they're on the open side, which is the split inside, which, you know, they're going to have to process the way things come at them a little bit differently. And so as far as just putting a restriction on them, you don't do that. But there are certain traits that you would like to have if it's ideal. You know what I'm saying?
What about the 3-4, the three up front guys?
You got to be hogs.
Okay.
I mean, you've got to be able to have some knockback and some road grader in you. And you've got to be able to have enough ballast in you to be able to take on some things, because that's where the real physical part of the game comes in, down in, down out. Now it's and again we're talking first and second down. Now we're not talking sub package
right
now, and so you've got to be able to hold up against the double teams. You've got to be able to split the double teams. And the other thing that you would like to have, you know, in there is you need somebody that, if you do somewhere in your system, if you need to just two gap and knock back and to say they're not, you are going to play this gap and then you're going to play the other gap by putting the blocker in the other gap. You've got to be able to have some people with some huge knockback to them. That's why, see, Jarrell Casey, even though he's not real tall, he's right. Got great knockback because he's got flexion in his ankles and he's got a great first strike. He can strike and knock back. Now, Jeffrey Simmons is ideal what you want in there, because he's just a bear standing on two legs, you know. And I mean, and somebody that really he can knock back. He can swipe them by, you know, and plus then he can laterally pursue and go get after him. And so, I mean, if you want to build one and look at it, well, they drafted one last year in Jeffrey Simmons. Jeffrey Simmons, if he were in this draft, would be heads and shoulders above anybody on the interior defensive line coming out.
Dang. And he's only just now a year out from knee surgery.
No, and
only
and
just now.
We have not even seen, you know, I mean, we've scratched the surface as far as us visually being able to see what he will become. And I'm not saying can become, I'm saying will become, because he will be that. But this is exactly, I mean, I've only probably really been around two of those guys on teams that maybe three that I've been on. I mean, and I've been on, had some good ones that could just dominate in there, you know, that when people put the tape on, especially in the offensive line room, they're going, okay, we got to do something here, you know, and which is, that's what you want.
Yeah.
But he is, and to me, and that just illustrates just how John Robinson sees everything from a big picture view, you know, as far as looking at, because, you know, to be able to have the wherewithal to take that guy at that pick, knowing that you were not going to have him for a while, but to be able to identify those traits and then be willing to, and it goes, you know, Amy Adams Strunk signing off on it too.
Right.
And Mike Vrabel saying, all three of them said, we're all in on this guy, because they vetted him, because you could tell the physical prowess. But then when you find out what type of person he is and what type of work ethic he has, I mean, for our listeners, I mean, the work ethic that it took for him to come back like he did, as fast as he did, I mean, that just is not common. It really isn't. And so, as I said, that you can count that as your first round pick this year too.
Dang.
I mean, and that's a big plus, because he's going to be different than he was this year.
Show, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Rocking on through the afternoon with Coach Mack. Farm Bureau Health Plans making it happen. Coach Mack getting ready to go to the Combine. We've talked about this before, but how much that event has changed. And literally now we're talking about prime time where people will watch dudes run 40 yards, lift weights, do drills. But that appetite for football fans is greater now than it's ever been. And the NFL's glad to feed the machine to put this. Like you said, there are fans there now. Spectators come and watch the Combine.
Well, there absolutely are. I mean, I told you last time, I think, on this program about in the weight room where they had stands set up so you could cheer the, you know, cheer the bench press. And then, you know, going prime time, I mean, and that's a reason why that, you know, they've cut it down. We talked about it again on this show where they've got now, instead of 60 interviews at 15 minutes, now you've got 45 interviews at 18 minutes apiece. That cuts out about 3.5 hours off of your interview process. Because, you know, they're gonna go to prime time with every position will work out prime time except for the corners, because they work out the last day on Sunday. That will not be at prime time. The rest of them will be, and so that necessitates now you're gonna have, instead of having your interviews at night, you'll have your interviews during the day. And that, you know, that's gonna change a little bit of what goes on. And it's not just the scheduled interviews that you have that they have to schedule around, guys. You know, for a deeper dive into this, you know, for our listeners, you've also got a train station is what we call it, which it originally was, that's connected to that Holiday Inn there where all the players stay, that you have tables set up for all the teams where you have designated tables where you can interview players there at any time that are there. So in other words, you're not just restricted to those, you know, used to be 60 and now the 45 players that you have requested that the time slots with in your rooms inside the Holiday, you know, inside the Holiday Inn, that you have your room set up for your formal interviews. But the train station interviews, that where you have your assistant coaches and where you have your scouts, that goes on all the time. So you've got a chance to interview a lot of people there, not just the 45 that you have. I mean, you know, the times that I've been there, you know, with the train station, it depends, because most of the times in your formal interviews, you will have a position coach in there for your formal interviews. But say you've got 7 linebackers you're going to interview formally, well, you know, there's 34 others that you want him to talk to.
Right.
And so he'll talk to those guys in the train station along with an area scout or along with with an assistant personnel person. And so you're interviewing most everybody that is there. You know, then that's so there's 330 guys there. So during the course of the 7 days, you will interview most everybody that is in there. Sit down with them. Somebody in your organization will sit down with those people. And of course, you cross pollinate, you know, with some of those people. The Senior Bowl and the East West game have become big interview sessions also, which is smart, you know. But anyway, you're talking to more than just the 45 now is the number that you're interviewing officially.
Have you dove into tight ends?
Yeah.
I'm curious to get your take on a kid that's a local kid, Jared Pinkney over at Vanderbilt. Production level down a little bit this year compared to the previous year.
Yes.
His quarterback the previous year just won a Super Bowl ring. Might have a little something to do with that. But I'm curious to get your take on Jared Pinkney when you pop the tape.
6'4", 254, number 80, redshirt senior. Dawn and I watched him in person one game when I was with her at the – Missouri game down there. I wrote down here, good overall size, athleticism for the position. In the run game, he's a willing blocker. He has some run after catch ability. He catches seam routes over the middle. He's a more Y to me than an F, you know, which is, he's more an inline guy. He's not an I. I mean, you know, 6'4", 254 is a large human being, but it's not overly big for an end Y in the National Football League. I don't think he's an exceptionally twitched up player, mm-hmm. you know, but he's going to create some mismatch problems downfield. He can create some separation after the catch. He does. I think he's got a chance to win some combat catch ability. He'll be drafted.
Yeah,
he'll be drafted.
Okay.
I know last year he was big, you know, as far as quantity of catches and all that, and then came back. And I think one of the things he really focused on was the things he was doing when he didn't have the ball in his hands.
Yeah, and looking at him, I mean, just again, Coach Mack's making no draft decisions now, so I want everybody to understand that.
Right.
I used to make all of them, you know, and, you know, I used to make a lot of them, you know, but I don't make any draft decisions anymore. But just you talk about off of comparisons and looking, I mean, it looks to me, you know, like he's going to probably have a chance to be a third or fourth round pick.
You mentioned them playing Missouri. Well, this year they both kind of had their struggles. Last year they both had really nice years. Talking about Pinckney and Albert Ogwebenam, is that right?
Albert O.
Albert O.
Yep.
Kind of the same deal. Now Albert O. I've got
Max like Albert O.
Yeah,
I've got him right.
Oh,
here.
I tried the name. I should have just stuck with that.
No,
one.
You're
you
fine.
Did good.
No, you did
okay,
really
okay,
good.
Okay, good.
You did
I mean,
good.
As far as
yeah.
we know, I mean,
yes.
Don's fluent.
He, in fact,
SEC
he,
player,
he got hurt in that Vandy game here.
Yeah,
he hurt his left knee in that Vandy game here. That where I was with Dawn when she was working and yeah. I was just being Coach Mac. to me, I mean, again, he just watching him, he's got athleticism for the position. I mean, he'll strike in the run game some. He's aligned. Now, he's aligned a lot of different places. They used him as an H. They used him as an F. He's shown some, when he was healthy, some seam and deep routes. He can track the ball. He's got good, natural, strong hands, I thought. I think he's missed some time due to injury. Yeah. And then, again, is he an overly twitched-up athlete? There's not a tight end in this draft like Hockenson was last year or like Fant was this year that's going to be a first-round pick. Yeah. There's not that dude. You know, in this draft, but he's got a big catch radius. To me, the best thing that he's got is his hands. I mean, I thought the best game that I watched, he played. I had to go back to watch some 2018 games because he was a little better.
Yeah.
You know, to me, he was a little.
It was a similar deal.
He was a little better then. You know, but he'll get drafted too. I think he might get drafted a little later on just because of the injury. You know, of the injury issue, but he'll get into a camp.
Have you built up some wide receivers in there?
Yeah, what do you want?
Just to kind of keep it local, let's go up to Knoxville. What do you see in Juwan Jennings?
First of all, I love Juwan Jennings because, look, I will always, Coach Mack will do this until he's not doing this anymore. I will always default to tough guys. You know, and to me,
and he'll be a special teamer too.
Yeah.
Well, he really will, and he brings that. And here's what he is. He brings attitude. Now, he's not going to run away from anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not going to run away from anybody, but he is going to be a combat catcher. He's going to be a guy that will do whatever you want him to do. He'll be an excellent blocker. If you're looking for a twitchy, take the top off receiver, that's not him. That's not him. But as far as a football player, I like him as a football player. Okay, now where he fits into your system, or where he fits into your 53-man roster, or where he fits into your 90-man camp when you get him, he will decide that. But to me, you never discount tough guys, because this is a physical game that they're playing, and a lot of times toughness wins in a lot of situations. So I like him, and I like him because of his physical toughness, and I like him because he's combative.
I think he has a clear understanding of what he is too, because you'll watch him on tape, and he, instead of taking the open space, he'll look for a guy, and he'll go run people over.
Well,
and he just got this physical attacking style that you don't see a lot at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, and to me, I mean, that has a place. Now, where does it fit? How does he slot into the 5, 6, or 7 guys you will keep on a roster? I mean, but he'll get into a camp. And so those types of guys I never really worry about, because usually when they get a chance to get into camp, then it all comes out. Because I've said this before on this show, and I've said it to our listeners, and it's true throughout the National Football League, two things that players respect most in the locker room is work ethic and physical toughness. If you bring that to a camp, when you get a chance to get in the door, you got a chance.
There you go. Coach Mack always brings it when he gets a chance.
Is that it?
That's it, man.
All right, I'm eating the rest of this Moe's.
All right, we come back. Headlines including unbelievable news about Ryan Newman. We'll share that on the other side. 3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. 104.